Yes, Lord, that is what we need. We need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. We need, Lord, to have you empower us, because this world, Lord, wants to tear us down. Father God, this world wants to get us overwhelmed and full of worry and doubt. And yet, Lord, you have a hope and a future for us, Lord. You said that if we search for you with all our heart, we would find you. You said for us to ask, to seek, and to knock, and that you would give us the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we're asking, Father, for a fresh infilling, Lord. And so, God, be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. Great to have you here. If you would, please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What I love is that we can just keep going straight through 1 Corinthians. We're in a great spot. It matches with what the Lord has put on my heart. If you need a Bible, the ushers will give you one. Just raise your hand and they will make sure you can have a Bible to follow along. All right, well, this morning, obviously, I've entitled our message, Pentecost, A Fresh Outpouring. And we're in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at these verses. And they're so appropriate for what we want to touch today. So let's look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, gosh, what wording. I don't want you to be ignorant. Is Paul calling the First Corinthian church ignorant? Well, yes and no. It could also be translated, I want you to be informed. However, the First Corinthian church, they had all the gifts in operation, yet they're acting as if the Holy Spirit is not around. And so he's like saying, in this situation, he's like, y'all, the First Corinthian church were kind of acting like they were ignorant. Now, Paul doesn't want them to be. He wants them to be informed. God wants you and I to be informed. That's why it's recorded here. And of course, as a pastor, I want us to be informed in all there is pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to also know that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. He's the one who convicts us. He's the one that encourages us. Most importantly, he's the one who empowers us. Now, I remember one person telling me they had gone to a church service and they said the Holy Spirit was so thick he was dripping. I was like, dripping? The Holy Spirit is not a drip. He is a person. He's a person of the Godhead. Now, some of your Bibles, especially if you have a King James, refers to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And that's kind of an interesting idea of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, see, you don't see him, but you know, when I was a kid, I thought, Holy Ghost, what is he like, Casper? You know, is he a friendly ghost? Yes, he's a very friendly. But I think a better way of looking at the Holy Spirit is that he's the Holy Spirit. If you want to call him a Holy Ghost, okay, but he's not a ghost. He's not an apparition. He's one of the Godhead. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who birthed the church. Yes, through Jesus Christ, we get salvation, but then the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, he birthed the church. Now, today is Pentecost, and Pentecost means 50, you know, like pentagram 5. Pentecost means 50. 50 days after the Passover, after Easter. And by the way, that would be 7 Sundays. And 7 is a number of completion. So the Pentecost was basically the Jewish Feast of Weeks, because it's 7 weeks. It was also called the Feast of Harvest. It was also called the Feast of First Fruits. And all of those are true. And all of those have great significance in what we're looking at today. It was the conclusion of growing season. And so what they had for Pentecost is they had these 2 sheaves of wheat that they would offer up to the Lord. And that is very good. Watch, hang on to that thought, because it was also marking an anniversary to when Moses had brought the law to Israel, was on Pentecost. And so the two sheaves also kind of represent, symbolize the Ten Commandments, the two tablets. But beyond that, there's even more symbolism in the fact that Pentecost is when God not only brings us the harvest, because it was a celebration of the harvest, it was also a harvest of souls. So the two sheaves, the two bushels of wheat, also represent the Jews and the Gentiles. And I love that. There's one more little piece of symbolism that I want to share with you, and that was back when Moses brought the two tablets. On that day when they received the law, 3,000 of the sons of Levi fell in judgment. They died because they had broken the law. But on Pentecost, I love this. On the day that the Holy Spirit poured out his Spirit, exactly 3,000 were saved. And I love that contrast. Why? Because the law brings death, but grace brings life. How does the law bring death? Well, here's the thing. The Ten Commandments, none of us can keep them. And so if you try to live by the law, well, you're going to realize you can't do it. And so you're doomed. But then Jesus comes and he says, I fulfilled the law for you, so now we can have salvation. So it's a beautiful picture of our salvation. But I also want you to know that on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit fills the people, and you remember they speak in tongues, and there's tongues of fire on their head. And by the way, it's not just that they spoke in tongues. There were also people had holy ears, because each one heard in their own language. So there was a miracle of tongues, miracle of ears, miracle of fire. This is a miracle. Wind blowing through is pretty powerful. But that's not... By the way, that's not when the Holy Spirit shows up. Some people think, well, that's when the Holy Spirit shows up. I had someone ask me recently, good question. They were like, wait, Pastor Randy, you're telling me that Jesus was around before he was born? How does that work? Well, because he was God. You know, he shows up in the Old Testament. It's called a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnate Christ. He shows up. He's always been around. But listen, over in Genesis... Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it shows us the Holy Spirit was back in Genesis. It says this, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Now, how does that work? I don't know, but he was there. How does he hover? But he does. But I also want you know, there in Genesis, when you see the word God, in Hebrew, it's Elohim. And you go, yeah, Elohim is plural. It's plural. See, God is three in one. Jesus is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Pastor Randy, how does that work? That's impossible. Well, here's a crude but simple way of thinking of it. H2O. H2O can be ice, still H2O. Can be liquid. Still H2O. Can be steam. Still H2O. God can be Jesus, G-O-D. Holy Spirit, G-O-D. Father, G-O-D. Have fun with that. It's crude, but it works. All right, let's move on. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols. However, you were led. Okay, first he calls them, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. It's like, is he calling us ignorant? And then he says, you're carried away by stupid idols. Man, I love Paul. I love how he doesn't mince words. Sometimes I get in trouble because I do the same thing. I don't mince words. I just tell it like it is. And some people can't handle that, and I'm sorry. But there's a saying, you probably heard this, ignorance is bliss. You ever heard that? Well... When I was working at the casinos, there was this guy. He was just really belligerent, very arrogant. We didn't get along. And his friend made a statement, And we were all talking. And he goes, hey, you know, ignorance is bliss. And I looked at the guy that kind of rubbed me the wrong. I know it wasn't right. And I said, man, you look very blissful. Everyone lost it, just like you did. But ignorance is not bliss. Yeah, okay, you don't know. Listen, there are a bunch of people right now who have no clue that Jesus is Savior. And one day they will kneel and say, Jesus, you're Savior. Every tongue will confess. And they'll realize ignorance wasn't bliss. They missed out. Of course, they won't care. But it's not bliss. For a Christian, hear me, brothers and sisters, to live in ignorance without submission to the Holy Spirit, ignoring the Holy Spirit, neglecting the Holy Spirit, it's not good. It's not bliss. Excuse me. New Year's Day, the Tournament of Roses Parade. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I used to watch it all the time. It's been a while. I don't have commercial TV, so... So one year at the Tournament of Roses Parade, one of the beautiful, beautifully decorated floats, you know, lavish assortment of roses, a lot of time and effort was put into this float. Well, this beautiful float caused an embarrassing delay when all of a sudden it began to sputter and halt. This float ran out of gas. And who was the organizing sponsor who forgot to fill the gas? The Standard Oil Company. A company with a vast reservoir of gas neglected to fuel up. Brothers and sisters, we are the same way. I see Christians all the time who will get into the race and all of a sudden they run out of gas. Forgetting to fuel up. We have a pipeline to inexhaustible power, the power of God. He is the Holy Spirit to reside in us. And here's the thing that causes us to forget to fuel up. The worries, the cares, the desires and lusts of this world cause us to forget to put fuel in our tank so that we can continue the race that God has called us to. Brothers and sisters, here's what we need. We need a fresh outpouring. We need to be fueled up with the Holy Spirit this morning. Verse 3, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Before I was saved, I mocked God. Before I was saved, I would read the Bible only so I had ammo to attack you, believers. But once the Holy Spirit entered my heart, the Word came alive. And I realized that Jesus Christ is incredibly valuable, and without Him, I'm lost. So that when I read the Bible, it's no longer ammo to attack you, it's ammo to give you life. To fill you with the Holy Spirit. And that's my desire this morning, is that all of us would have a fresh outpouring. And look here, it says verse 4 and 5. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Now, notice here it says the same Spirit and the same Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God, and God the Father. They're all called, the Holy Spirit is called Lord, Jesus is called Lord, Father's called Lord. It's three in one, just in case. There's a little scripture there you can hang on your belt for that. But when I think of varying and diversity of gifts and diversity of ministries, my mind immediately races to a very unusual ministry, a very unusual time. It's found in Acts 19, verse 11 and 12. And listen to this. Listen carefully. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even a handkerchief or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirit went out from them. Wow. But I want you to notice here, Luke refers to these miracles as unusual, even for Paul. He's like, okay, I'm going to tell you guys something that the Holy Spirit did, but this is not run-of-the-mill every day. He mentions his handkerchief, his sweat rag, and his apron. You know, if you're working in a, you know, working hard and you're wearing it, I've never worn an apron. I don't plan on it. But if you do, I'll pray for you, men. No. Listen, at that time, he was a tent maker. So he had the apron, he'd wipe his sweat. So they'd take these sweaty rags, and people were healed by them. Paul's sweat, you know who I thought of when I thought of a rag with sweat? I thought of Elvis. Elvis used to take his sweat rag, these neckerchiefs, and he'd give them out to the ladies. And oh, they're screaming, it's his sweat. So I thought, I went on eBay. You know how much people are getting for a authentic, not a replica because it has his fake signature. No, a real Elvis Presley, $800 to $2,000 for a sweat rag. That's crazy. There's no power. You don't put it on and start going, thank you. Thank you very much. You're not going to become, you're not going to become Elvis. Why are you paying that kind of money? But Paul's sweatbands, God used to work miracles. This brings up a question, several questions. Was there something miraculous about Paul's perspiration? Was this his DNA? Does God do that still today? Are those healing hankies and the bandanas of blessing that the radio and TV evangelists peddle, are those for real? Does God resort to such gimmicks? Well, no. And besides that, I thought for God to heal, it was no sweat. Cheesy, I know. Understand this. Paul was human like us. In fact, he called himself the chief of sinners. That's why Luke said, now God worked unusual miracles. When you see these televangelists selling these sweat rags, and they say, just send me $50 for this prayer cloth, or $100 or $1,000, that is not, it's unusual. If it's unusual, even for Paul, why are there so many on the radio and TV doing that? Because it's not real. God doesn't resort to gimmicks. You don't need someone's perspiration. We need our own expectation. Listen, that's the key. Today, I'm praying that you have an expectation that there will be a fresh outpouring in your life, in my life, in our lives. Paul didn't have holy sweat. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. So why? Why did this happen? I'll tell you why. See, Paul had great faith. Now, we can all say, well, Pastor, I have great faith. No. Paul's great faith was on display. Remember, he was beaten. He was thrown in jail. He was tortured. And yet he'd go, I'm going right back in. So many people, they go, oh, you hurt my feelings. They're out. I bail. I quit. There's no Holy Spirit there. That's flesh. Paul said, I will not be moved. So God goes, good, I can use you. See, if we believe, if you believe, shouldn't you be expecting God's Spirit to work powerfully through you? Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, and you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you what? The Holy Spirit. So when the people saw Paul, that he didn't just talk about faith, he lived his faith, They viewed as Paul and God were close and linked together. So you know what that what happened? That stimulated their faith to believe that God could heal them through the cloth. That's why I'm not going to name any names. Benny Hinn. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. Listen, people come to him. There are times I've met some people who said, well, Pastor Randy, I've gone to the crusade. I got healed. My grandma got healed or someone else got healed. Sure, people can get healed. Sure, absolutely. But it has nothing to do with his jacket or his hairdo or whatever he claims about himself. It has to do with the person believing, God, you can heal me. Now, they may put their faith in this particular person. This is how it works. You see, the Bible says to lay on of hands. The Bible says to anoint with oil. My hands, I've prayed for people and people have gotten healed, but I don't believe it's me. I believe it's the Holy Spirit. And how many other people were praying for them at the same time? God does heal. And maybe God did at that particular time use the prayer and the laying on of hands, and I happen to be involved, but my gosh, I'm not going to take credit for that. I'm going to give him all the praise, all the glory. We anoint with oil. The oil doesn't have power. The oil is a tool to build our faith. It's the purpose is to stimulate our faith with something tangible. It's the believer's point of contact when we lay on of hands, when we anoint with oil. That we have this point of contact and believing that God's going to do something. It's our expectation. It's our faith that moves God's hand. It's not a gimmick. It's about having active faith. That's the point. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I need a fresh outpouring. I feel dry sometimes. I grow weary. Sometimes I feel like I'm running out of gas. And God goes, well, gas up, brother. Come, ask, seek, knock. I'll fill your tank. The Holy Spirit will empower us and equip us to keep going. Now, real quick. There are denominations that push the whole thing about baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we believe in, but that the proof is that you're going to speak in tongues or prophesy or run laps. But the fact of the matter is, when you're filled with the Spirit, you can forgive. It's harder to forgive someone than it is to speak in tongues. That's easy. Men, it takes more Holy Spirit to wash the dishes than to speak in tongues. All the ladies go, amen. In fact, the gift of tongues is the last on the list of gifts. But yet there's such an emphasis on it. Do I believe in the gift of tongues? Absolutely. But in its place, according to Scripture. Now, by the way, we're in chapter 12. For the next two chapters, we're going to be exploring it in great detail. Verse 6. And there are diversity of activities. But it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Watch. Is given to each one for the profit of all. You see, when God gives you or I of infilling of the Spirit, it's so that we can all profit. It's not just so you can go, look at how much Holy Spirit I got in me. Woo. No. It's if God fills me with the Spirit, it's to bless you and you and you. And if God fills you with the Spirit, it's to bless me and us and we. That's the idea. And here's the problem, though. Once we start listening to the Holy Spirit, and then we get involved in ministry, our ministry becomes the hardest ministry there is. Every ministry leader will tell you, man, my ministry is so hard. You want to know who had the hardest ministry? Moses. He had the biggest babysitting ministry in history. 40 years to care for 2 million whiny, crying Jews. The Jews were juvenile. Get it? Juvenile. Okay. That was... Moses needed help. God knew this. That's why God then poured his spirit out upon, not in, prior to the cross. No one had the spirit in them, but the Holy Spirit would come upon them, on 70 elders. And as a really interesting thing happens, I love this, prophecy that people miss. This is actually some prophecy. Numbers chapter 11, verse 26 and 29. Two men, Eldad and Medad, two dads. No, I'm just joking. That's just their name. Eldad and Medad had stayed behind in the camp. And they were listed among the elders. But they had not gone to the tabernacle. Yet the Spirit rested upon them. Notice that. Rested upon them as well. So they prophesied there in the camp. A young man ran and reported to Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, said to Moses, who had been with Moses, he said, he had been with him and assisted him since his youth, protested, Moses, my master, make them stop. In other words, he's saying, look, Moses, common folk can't have the spiritual equipping that you have. Stop them. It's not right. And I love Moses. Moses prophesies here. Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all God's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon all of them. Listen, Moses was right. He was prophesying. All of the Old Testament, over and over again, God says he spoke of a day when he would pour his spirit into his people, on all his people. And guess what? That time is now. Now, you and I can be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, we receive the Holy Spirit when we get saved. But we can have what's called a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's where we have a special infilling. That's what I want for you. I want for me. I want for we. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to just happen once. You can be filled and refilled. That's why it's in the present imperative in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, when he says, ask, seek, knock. Present means keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. We need that. Now, there are three experiences that we have with the Holy Spirit. One, in John 14, Jesus said, the Spirit was with them, and will be in them. Well, when he says with them, because prior to going to the cross, the Spirit wouldn't be in them. So before, do you realize this? Before you and I were saved, the Holy Spirit was with us. He wasn't in us, but he was with. Well, how do you say that? Well, one day, obviously, he was with you before you were saved to convict you and to let you know that you needed a Savior. Even before you had the Holy Spirit. Listen, as I look back, and you could probably do the same, there were times in my life that I know if it wasn't for God, I should be dead or in jail. I did some stupid stuff. But God had his hand on me. He has his hand on you. He has a purpose for our life. So first experience, just being alive, the Holy Spirit is everywhere, even amongst sinners. They may not recognize him, may not want him, but there's nowhere you can go where the Holy Spirit isn't. Then when we believe in Jesus and we go, yes, I believe in you, I need you, I need a Savior, I'm lost, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us. Yay! But there's the third experience. When we have the Holy Spirit come upon us in such a powerful way that his love engulfs us and he equips us with power. Power for what? Power to minister to others. Not power to show off or to make a spectacle. No, no, no. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. John Stott says this, before Christ sent the church into the world, he sent the Spirit into the church. And it's true. I pray that we are never guilty of doing a work of God without the Holy Spirit. You know, we can do that. We can do something for God without the Holy Spirit accompanying us. I see people do it all the time. It's not about doing stuff for Jesus. It's about doing stuff with Jesus, by his power, for his glory. There is no substitute for spiritual power. None. John Stott also said this. He says, when you rely on organization, you get what organization can do. When you rely on education, you get what education can do. When you rely on eloquence, you get what eloquence can do. But when you rely on the Holy Spirit, you get what only God can do. And see, that's what I want for us. That's what I want for me. I want what only God can do. So let me ask you, and it's a rhetorical, I don't want you to answer because I hope I know the answer to this question. Do you want victory or failure in your life? Someone's going, oh, I'll take failure. 2 scoops, please. No, you don't. No one does. And maybe someone's saying, you know what, Pastor Randy, I walk in victory. Okay, maybe you do. Let's test it. According to my Bible, if you are walking in true victory, your prayer life is amazing. If you are walking in true victory, your Bible life is alive and consistent. If you are walking in victory, you go from day to day without worry, doubt, anxiety, or unforgiveness. You're just a happy-go-lucky little camper. If you are walking in victory, you are actively serving the Lord in and out of church. If you are walking in victory, you share your faith with mighty boldness. Now, if you answered yes to all that, bravo. You are in the pipe 5x5. Way to go. You're sitting pretty. But if you're like most Christians, we waver. I have my good days and my, you know what? I have my good moments and my bad moments. You know, it's like a roller coaster. But here's the thing. All we got to do is say, Lord, I need you. Constantly be asking, seeking, knocking. We need that fresh outpouring every day. Realize, if you're not walking in victory, if you feel like you're running out of gas, well, maybe it's because we don't realize who we are in Christ. Maybe it's because we don't realize that we can have all of the Holy Spirit every day. Now, here's the thing. Can we ever exhaust the power of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Can we ever have all of the Holy Spirit? No, he's too much. We couldn't handle it. But we can have more. We can have more. How many of you, and I don't want to know, it's a rhetorical, how many of you know what your spiritual gifts are? How many of you even believe that you received spiritual gifts? Look at what it says in verse 7 of our verses here. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Spiritual gifts are given to God's people by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the church. We know that next week in verse 11, we're going to see it says that the gifts are given according to God's sovereign will. God gives different spiritual gifts to each person as he wants to use you. That's why we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, and it says that these gifts are given to prepare God's people for service and for building up the body. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Not to show off, not to feel more, I'm more of an elite Christian than you. In fact, that means you don't have his spirit at all. And there are different kinds of gifts. Someone might say, hey, Pastor Randy, I'm very gifted. Oh, yeah? What's your gift? Well, I can throw 3 Doritos in the air and catch them all in my mouth. That's not a gift. That's a curse. No. Listen, spiritual gifts are not things you can learn. They're not things you can learn. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. Before I was saved, I could sing. That wasn't a spiritual gift. Yes, okay, my singing voice was from God, of course, but it wasn't a spiritual gift. After I got saved, God made an idiot a Bible teacher. That's amazing. That's supernatural. That's a spiritual gift. See, God isn't looking for talented people. God is looking for anyone who will open himself up and say, Holy Spirit, fill me, and then do with me as you will. I won't fight it. But most of us, we often fight what God wants to do in us because we don't like it. It's too hard. It's challenging. I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable teaching. But I do it, yes, sir, Lord. I'm a little more comfortable now. I've been doing it for so many years. But when I first started, I was like, God, I don't want to do it. I was shaking and nervous and stumbling over my words. It was sad. But I was like, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Not for accolades, not for building your reputation, not for any of that stuff. Pride and God's anointing don't mix. I like what one person said. He said this: the mistake a lot of politicians make is in forgetting they've been appointed and thinking they've been anointed. Too many politicians think they're anointed. They're not anointed. They're appointed. We're not appointed. I wasn't appointed to this. I was anointed for this. And here's the thing. What does God want to anoint you to do for his glory? Because I guarantee you, you're a believer today because he has a purpose, a great victory for your life. But we quench the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm asking today that we would all have a fresh outpouring to walk in power. If God was able to turn the world upside down with 12 fumbling, bumbling idiots, what could he do with 500 godly people in this church? Filled with the Spirit, filled with power. Oh, gosh. Let's not turn over the world. Let's turn this valley on fire for Jesus. The only thing that's stopping it from happening is me. When I quench the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me read this slowly. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. You have, look. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. See that love-hate relationship there? Love righteousness, right living, living according to God's word. Hate lawlessness, I'll do whatever I want, the way I want. Okay, watch this. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Do you see a prerequisite here to being anointed with gladness, to be anointed with the Holy Spirit? The prerequisite is that you love righteousness and hate lawlessness. It's about being anointed by God. And by the way, let me just say this. The more anointed you are, the more Satan hates you. The more anointed you are, the more the battle you'll have to deal with. But it's okay because you're anointed and victory is yours. Paul, probably, you know, of course, Jesus, he is the anointing. But Paul, powerful man of God. All 12 of the disciples, powerful men of God. Look at what they went through. Jesus said of John the Baptist, no greater man born unto woman. And he got beheaded, put in prison. Why? Because, listen, with great power comes great responsibility. I heard that once. Sorry. But that's true. God wants to empower you and I with great power. What power? His power. The power of the living God. But with that comes responsibility. What responsibility? That we love righteousness and hate lawlessness. Why is that so hard? Because the world loves lawlessness and so many of us want to be chameleons. We want to blend in with the world and we can't do that. We need to stand out. Stand up. And walk right. So here's what we're going to do. This being Pentecost and wanting a fresh outpouring, we're going to, in a moment, not just yet, I'm going to have some of the leadership come up in a moment, and we're going to offer a time of prayer and anointing to you. Now, someone might say, but, you know, you're going to lay hands physically and put oil. Isn't, you know, being anointed a spiritual thing? Yes. But listen, just like communion, it's not really the blood and body of Jesus, but it's a symbol to activate our faith and remind us why we're Christians. Baptism, you're not really being buried with Christ and raised anew. It is a physical illustration. Neither of them save you. You're already saved. So now we're going to do an anointing with oil and lay hands on you. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask, seek, and knock that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I want to read you two verses before I have the leadership come up. Two verses that give two different aspects of receiving the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Psalm 20 verse 6 says this. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Did you hear that? God gives victory to his anointed. But in order to receive this victory, you and I have to be willing to be corrected. Maybe you're uncomfortable with the message this morning, talking about, you know, are you running out of gas? Talking about where you are. Are you really walking in victory? But realize, listen, we're all running out of gas at times. Maybe you're feeling a little convicted by that. It's good. Look what this verse says. Psalm 141, verse 5. Let the righteous strike me, and it shall be kindness. Let him rebuke me, and it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. In other words, listen, when I receive correction, and I love correction, I don't like the way it feels, but I know I need it. Maybe today you're feeling a little convicted. That's good. Change. Do something different. How about we start walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? So we're going to end this service a little different and a little early, and there's a reason for that. We're going to end it not with worship songs, but with the worship action, a different type. This worship of surrender. In order for you to want to come up and be anointed, you have to recognize that you're in need. So that's the first thing. Then you have to be humble enough to say, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to get prayer because I want to change. I want to be more on fire for God. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't have magic oil. None of the leadership up here is going to have magic oil. It's your faith. The oil is to stimulate your faith. We're doing this out of obedience. So let me give you a couple of instructions as my leaders come forward. We're going to have five husband and wife teams up here. None of the teams have more power than the other. Don't go, oh, you know, I want to go with Pastor Gilbert because he's got all the power. Pastor Steve and Desiree, oh, she leads worship. I'm going to go. She's got that worship power. No, listen, we're all the same up here. We're all the same. We're missing one couple on this side here. I believe it's Jim and Kathy. Is that right? Are you second serving? Are you going to come up, Roy? You're on the list, sir. Let me check my list. Okay. All right. So let me encourage you to go to whomever is available. Once you are prayed for, I'm going to ask that, you know, yes, maybe God's going to do a work. Last night, God did some amazing work with the congregation. It was awesome, powerful prayer. I'm going to suggest that you go into the fellowship hall and then have your conversation there because other people are being prayed for, and sometimes that's a distraction. We want this to be a God moment between you and God. So if you need to sit in your seat and pray for a while before you come up and then be anointed, or you just want to come straight up and be anointed and prayed over, then by all means. And maybe you don't want to be anointed. That's fine. Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. What a great day to just say, on the day of Pentecost, when Christ, when the Holy Spirit birthed the church, I'm going to be birthed anew. So we're going to spend some time. You come up and find someone to pray with. We'll anoint you. It's not a counseling session. It's a time of just seeking the Lord to have that fresh outpouring. Okay? All right. God bless.